Yep. 1:54, so the time was put back on. 10 more seconds. So Twins right, single receiver left. Pistol formation, ball in the right hash. Curtis.
It's a keeper.
It's a keeper. Nowhere really to go. And he gets tackled by a swarm of raccoons. Sniffed out beautifully. And it looks like it was the corner in that side. Number one, Alex Bryan, who's made some big plays tonight for the raccoons. Clock winds up. 1:35 and counting. And that sets up third and 10. Actually, no, it's a loss, so it's third and 13.
That was a keeper that should have been a giver.
Ball's at the 25 there. Yeah, you'd like to have seen him maybe throw that away,
right,
Johnny.
Some kind of option or something.
Yeah, got to have an outlet there. Clock runs, 1:14. So North Star's taking their time here on this. I think they want to try to run out some clock, but I'd hate to see a delay of game on this. Nope, they're going to call timeout here. They have one left with 1:04 remaining. And, again, we'll keep it here, Johnny.
Yeah, well, there's a little chess game going on here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a minute 4 left on the clock.
What's that? Sure, yeah. Yep, you got it. So, yeah, Carl Anderson's going to be one of our guests at halftime, the athletic director and vice principal here at Waukesha North. He's informed us he's going to walk the teams out. Then come back and join us. So that'll be a nice treat. It'd be good to get to know Carl better. I first met Carl at the pond in Brookfield when the Waukesha Wings, the combined hockey team of North, South, West, and Catholic Memorial, were in a playoff game.
Combined?
Yeah, you know, hockey, it's you're in Milwaukee area, Johnny, and when you talk hockey, you might as well be in Biloxi, Mississippi. As great of a sports town this is, and hockey is not a cheap and an affordable sport, if you will, to play. You think football equipment's expensive. Check out the ice time.
Well, hey, in Green Bay, when I was a kid growing up, there was all kinds of hockey guys.
Yeah, and I grew up in Buffalo, so I know it.
Well, there you go.
You go as far as Madison and you see that, but not in Milwaukee. It's
a little too far south.
And the Wurtzes and the Blackhawks had a lot to do with that, too, I think. Twin packages both sides. Empty backfield. So it's double tight ends. For A.J. Cook here, 1:04 remaining, 3rd and 13. You got to believe the North Stars, they want to get a first, but they also want to be safe with the decision calling here. He gets it off. He's got a guy long. That's Webster. Oh, broken up beautifully at the last second.
Man, I thought he was going to catch that. But
that was Gus Kelly, number 2, the senior cornerback, robbed Webster of a big gain. 56 seconds remaining in the half. Beautiful pass there,
yeah,
by Cook. He makes it look so easy.
It started looking real good when it came off his hand, man. It looked like it was going to be there, and then the defense closed in fast.
It sure did.
It's a good play on the
Jason
O'Connor
Webster.
Block.
Yeah, it sure was. So with Mr. Wolf coming out, that's Alex Wolf, the senior punter. Obvious punting situation here with 4th and 13. Ball at the 25. And then back to return there, I think that's our friend Caden Oppold for Ocon. He's at his own 38-yard line there. So Ocon should have decent field goal position. High snap, not a problem there. Wolf boots it.
Good punt.
And it's going to drop at about the 49. It's going to take a friendly North Star bounce, thankfully, and it's going to roll all the way and finally die at about the 37 of Ocon. So decent outcome there.
Yep, 42 seconds left.
A 40-yard punt there.
See what happens with
so high
raccoons.
High punt with good hang time. Lands at the 49 and rolls all the way to the 37. So 42 seconds is your time remaining. So plenty of time. And Ocon's got one timeout left. So that timeout that the North Stars forced, very helpful to them. So, Johnny, we got trips right here, double tight end, empty backfield, single receiver left for Merrick. He's rolling out right. He's under some pressure. He gets sacked.
Holy
cow. What a shot.
He came out of nowhere.
And that was number 3, Aiden Zerbel.
Zerbel's wearing a cast on his right hand.
He sure is, and big shot.
Boy, did he put the speed to him.
He sure did. With the green, the Dayglo green cleats, too.
Yep.
And timeout is called by Ocon. That's their last with 23 seconds. So let's see what they have dreamed up. We'll keep it here until halftime. And then again, my guest is our guest is Carl Anderson, vice principal and athletic director for Waukesha North High School.
Yeah, on that last play, Don, that wide receiver had a few steps down the near sideline here. If he could have got that ball launched, it would have been trouble. Yeah, so. And he came out of nowhere and put the leather to him. So
he
that
sure
was nice.
Did. Yeah.
Good speed demon move.
Sure
wow.
was. You know, Zerbel's a corner. He came from that right corner spot, and he had a guy in his side, so they must have let the free safety, or he just let him go knowing that he wasn't looking right. So gutsy call there.
Yes, yes. Little chess game going on.
So now
here.
We got twin packages both sides. Pistol formation for Merrick. Ball at the 28. It's second and 18 with 23 seconds left. Scores tied 7-all. And Merrick, he's looking to his right. No, he's looking over the middle. He's got a guy. Schweffel has it at the 50. Oh,
wide open.
And he's tackled at about the 41. 14 seconds remaining. And again, with Ocon out of timeouts, I think they'll just do a quick spike here.
Clock has stopped.
Well, they're waiting for the chain gang to move. And now, I guess we have a penalty. No, a roughing the passer.
Boy, that puts him in that's field goal.
Yeah, oh, that hurts a lot. Tough call there. So instead of being at about the 44, that's going to move to about the 31 or 29. 28-yard line. Tough break.
Yeah, they could do some damage here.
Those
they got 14 seconds left.
Yeah, 14 seconds left here. Now you can look towards the end zone.
Yep.
Twin packages, both sides. Pistol formation. No timeouts left for Ocon. He's looking to his right.
He's
the guy in the end zone.
Touchdown!
Ocon!
Ay, ay, ay.
Brady Engel, the senior. And the Raccoons have the lead with 8 seconds left in the half. And you know what, with the space that Engel had in the corner there.
Well, yeah, and there was good time there, too, because that was a long ball.
That was a timing corner pattern.
Offensive linemen doing their job.
Tough break there.
Yes, sir.
I believe that was Elijah Mead on the coverage. So, our friend Jackson Taylor in for the extra point. Kick is up, and it's good. So, with 8 seconds left, it's a 14-7 lead. And again, we'll keep it here since we're close to halftime, Johnny. And don't forget, you're going to see Johnny and I back at it again at 12:30 tomorrow at Schneider Stadium. We are proud to broadcast Carroll University football. The undefeated Pioneers host the Titans of Illinois Wesleyan. And you think of Titans, you think of that classic Denzel Washington movie, Remember the Titans, but... it has not been a memorable season so far with the Titans at 0-2, but don't underestimate them or don't look past them because they've had the Pios number in the past, and they're another great CCIW team that plays tough. So it's going to be a pretty good the Pios are psyched. It's going to be Big Brothers Big Sisters Day there, one of the charities that the football team supports, and I'm really excited for Coach Buddha and company to bring it.
Yeah.
So we can't wait. So
it's
as we
exciting
see,
day tomorrow. This is exciting.
This is a great game, yeah. So we got Elijah Mead and Jason Webster out. Your kicker again is Jackson Taylor. And it's just a squib kick. Bounces the 15. It's fielded by Webster. He's going to run to his left here. He's cutting to his right. And then he's met by... Clock stops with 2 seconds left. He gets as far as the 28, so, you could try like a hook and ladder here maybe, Johnny?
Yeah, you think so?
That's a long throw, but, why not? It's high school football.
Yeah.
It's your last year in the Classic 8. Let's have some fun.
I don't think you take a knee. I think you
maybe a double pass, yeah.
Do something, do a little trigonometry in there.
You got the rest of your life to take a knee. That's one of my high school coaches when he heard that some guy wasn't going to play football because he had got a job, and he's like, you got the rest of your life to work. You don't. This is it for football.
Play ball.
Play ball. But let's see here. They got the pistol formation, so I don't know. I think they want to make a play here. We do have a tight. This could be their version of the victory formation because they got the tight end lined up close there. Single receivers both sides, but, you know, 2 seconds, like, we might as well go for it. Nope, it's a handoff in the middle. He's got a big hole, though. Ethan Holmes gets about a 5-yard gain, and that'll do it. So at the end of one half, an exciting first half, the North Stars of Waukesha North trail the visiting Raccoons of Oconomowoc 14-7. And don't go away. A lot of exciting stuff here at halftime, including Athletic Director Carl Anderson will be my guest, and we might even have some time with Chuck Mead, father of Elijah Mead. So it's going to be we're going to have some fun here, folks. So don't go away. Anya, you take it away, and we'll pay some bills, and we'll see you back here at North Star Stadium here in the Waukesha Sports Radio Network on WAUK.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome back to Halftime. These are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Thank you, Anya, and welcome back to Civic Media's version of live football at North in Waukesha with Oconomowoc as the opponent tonight. And I got to tell you, Don, it's been back and forth in a little chess game and a couple of great long plays. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's been an exciting first half, you know, one that we're not used to having covered the black shirts. And, you know, North Stars, like I said, they've had their tough defeats here in the Classic Gate. But as you can tell, they've got a pretty good staff here, players and coaches. And they're definitely a much stronger competitor at this juncture of the season. And they've got about 5 or 6 key players out with injuries, as we covered in the pregame. And they don't seem to have lost a step here. And what was almost a scoreless first quarter before A.J. Curtis found Elijah Mead on a short play in the flat that Mead took for 75 yards and then was followed up by a naked bootleg. I love saying naked bootleg. A.J. Curtis getting the first touchdown of the game, giving the North Stars a lead before the half. But North Stars started the ball to finish the first quarter and came out in the second quarter. And same thing, a long pass on a short play, or a short play that led to a long gain. And suddenly we had a tie game at 7-7 with maybe 10 or 11 minutes left in the second quarter. And North Stars offense couldn't have an answer. They had some decent drives, but really couldn't get in scoring position and had to punt the ball. Curtis has had a strong game overall, over 100 yards passing. He ran for a touchdown that was set up by a beautiful pass that he made. And, you know, we've seen some great plays on defense, a couple of long yardage sacks. You know, one was courtesy of the Irishman, Cullen Donovan. Actually, both Irishmen, Joshua Noonan, had that big sack on a key play. So, the, you know, the defense has done a great job.
It really
against
has.
An Ocon team that we know runs the ball well and has a prolific passing attack. They've proven they can go long. They've proven they can make some quick passes and short yardage that lead to big gains.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a great game. And, you know, Johnny, what would you say are the keys for the North Stars to get back into this game in the second half? Mind you, the Raccoons start the ball since they won the toss. They will have the ball first to start the third quarter.
Yeah, so here's the thing that I always like to see is stay true to what you do best, okay? And, you know, I think that's controlling the line of scrimmage, getting your run game, staying consistent there, and opening up some other opportunities. But that keeps the other side off the field. You burn some time, and you kind of beat them up a little bit. And you got to keep those linebackers honest when you have a good run game. That's what I think, Don.
Yeah, no, you nailed it on the head, Johnny. You know, I think you know, Waukesha North started the game with the ball, and an unfortunate tip led to an interception. And
yeah,
right away, O'Connor had the ball in great position and even got into the red zone. And a great defensive stand by the North Star defense. And, you know, maybe we could have the same fortune if we can pin O'Con deep or come up with a clever kickoff play, maybe force a turnover, at least make a really impressive stand on this opening drive. It's going to be a defining point in this game here. You know, it was back and forth, you know, scoreless for most of the first quarter. And then, you know, towards the end there, you know, O'Con got the momentum with that that second touchdown. It was a beautiful pass. You know, even after Oconomowoc scored, North had shown some resilience. They moved the ball, you know. They had a couple first downs there.
Yeah.
Again, really couldn't get past midfield. But, you know, I think if the defense can make a very impressive stand on this first drive, we get the ball back. And we get Elijah Mead in space, get Jason Webster set up.
Sure.
And I really like that that tight end, number 17, Caden Smith. He's made some huge catches there.
So, yeah.
But great news, Johnny. Our guest has arrived for the halftime. We got him plugged in?
Yeah, I think we're live on that.
Is this thing working? Yeah. So,
hot mic.
Hey, WAUK listeners, I'm proud to welcome our host, you're assistant principal, right, like Dan is? And athletic director, Carl Anderson. Carl, welcome. And Carl gets the mic. No, you can hold this. This is you. Yeah, you get to be Monty Hall or Mike Douglas.
What an exciting game, Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's a great game. It's really fun. Our first two non-conference games were great competitive games. This is another great competitive game. It's nice to have one of these at home. Both of our really competitive conference games last year were on the road at O'Con and at West, and then it's going to be nice. We got West at home in 2 weeks as well.
Nice.
Our hope with the whole conference realignment deal is that a lot more of our games are going to look like this next year, and it'll just be
a better
experience for our athletes and, you know, be playing against schools the same size as us with more similar profiles. And,
yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
It'll just be a better experience all around.
Yeah. That's a great point, yeah. And so what's unique to the Waukesha School District is that the athletic director has to wear a second hat, and that's assistant principal, not a side gig, if you will, right? So you've got a lot on your plate. How do you make it happen here at North for you?
Well, honestly, it's actually the reason I applied for this job. I didn't apply for any other athletic director jobs. I was athletic director and dean of students at North Fond du Lac before. Nice.
Okay.
I came to Waukesha, and I was driving from Franklin to North Fond du Lac, and that just wasn't working, but I really like being involved on the academic side of things as well and helping students on and off the field.
That sounds great. Terrific. And, you know, in addition to you having this great North program and then their South, you and your counterpart Dan Schreier get to share a team that's obviously maybe the most exciting team in all of Waukesha sports, the North-South Fusion men's volleyball team. How do you feel about the progress of that exciting program?
Well, I think it's been really great. I think, you know, the ultimate goal of any co-op is to no longer need the co-op. But one of the things you need to do is have successes that get more people out. And right now, Coach Chinsky is doing a great job
of
creating a program that has success. And we have three levels so the kids can play at every level. And, you know, the hope is we continue to grow.
Sure.
He's doing a really good job also working on growing that youth program, because without those youth programs, you can't have those high school programs. And, you know, boys volleyball is a challenging one to recruit for because you're competing with football directly as well as competing with soccer. But I think that what they're doing is great, and just the pride we have in that program.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that the cooperation, the inter-Waukesha cooperation going on there
as well. Yeah. So will you be joining us on October 4th when the Fusion play West? That was a really exciting match last year, and my wife and I want to make that an annual tradition. That was a 5-set victory for Fusion, one of the most exciting. Even if Fusion loses, just beautiful volleyball, great competition.
I will be hoping to make it there. I always have to take a look at what we got going on here as well. You know, we have it's kind of a little bit of everything, and that's the tough part of the co-op piece. It's the same deal with hockey in the winter that feels like half the time the hockey
wings.
Games are at the same time that we're hosting a basketball game. But
I'll
do my best to get there.
That sounds great. And of course, you also oversee the band, too, and the activities. So you got a legendary marching band here. Great leadership under Thomas Battersby.
Yeah. Again, it's one of the things that attracted me to North, that we are a school that cares about everything. We also have a fantastic drama program. Caitlin Stone, our director for all of our plays and our musical, is fantastic. And we really strive to find something for every single kid who comes to North to do.
That's terrific.
And I think that we do a really good job of that, and we have some really great teachers and coaches and advisors who help those kids find their place.
Sure.
That sounds great.
Do you know how many students are involved in the band program? I mean, I've seen a lot of folks out there, but...
I believe our number is 60 to 70.
Wow.
Okay.
Total, when you take into account the color guard, the twirlers, and then all of the musicians as well.
Yeah, five xylophone guys down there. You don't see that very often.
No, it is fun.
Is that my nephew Bruno Orlowski playing piano?
That might be. It's hard for me to see.
I think it is. Yeah, he's got the mop head. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be Bruno.
That's my nephew on the main stage there. The next Liberace, another Milwaukee native. So this is really good. Just great. Look at the way that's set up. Earlier we saw the parents bringing out the xylophones, the stage, all the big pieces. It was like a Roman legion. It was really fun to see. You've got some life-size or larger-than-life-size music stands. Some really great. Did the students create that?
Yeah,
some pianos? So great graphics.
The students and our... parents, volunteers come together to help create that. A lot of these students also probably take part in our stagecraft classes where they learn some of those same skills. Many of these students also are either in the pit orchestra for the musical or are members of the cast. So there's kind of those crossover skills that they learn in the same way that I want multi-sport athletes. I want multi-activity students.
Yes, multifaceted.
Sure.
Sure. This is terrific.
Makes a well-rounded student.
And you had your band fest last Sunday
at
Carroll, at our partner.
Having it at Carroll was nice. Just a little bit of a bigger space, especially when you factor in. I love our campus, but parking can be a little bit of a challenge
at times. Sure.
And having it at Carroll allowed us to just have a bigger space to showcase all of the different bands in the area. And it's great to showcase everything.
Sounds great.
That our students do.
Sure. Well, I'm really impressed with your coaching staff. Coach Ciano has been very friendly to us, came up and made sure that you were taking great care of us, and great staff. I think I mentioned I've gotten to know Nick Pridgen really well through one of his assignments. We both share a client, if you will, Ronald McDonald House Charities, and Nick's just a fine young man, very well spoken, and to have someone who had a wonderful high school career locally as well as a great college career at Winona State as one of the young role models for the team, I think that's a huge plus for your program.
I think Coach Gianna does a really good job of both recruiting coaches, but we are really, really fortunate. We have five teachers on staff, and then a couple other staff members who work in the building who are on staff, and that just gives kids points of contact, and it allows our coaches to really make sure that our kids are doing what they're supposed to, and they do a really good job of getting kids out and making sure that football is a place for kids to learn those life skills and be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Yeah. Now, I saw Mr. Battersby down there wearing a tie. Was that your dress code or his?
No, that would be his dress code, although I will say until I was an athletic director, I was also a tie every day guy. But
there you go.
When I'm at work for 14 hours a day, the tie gets a little constricting.
That's true.
I don't know how Mr. Schreier does it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all those years of teaching math. So, but it's great that you and Dan have such a great relationship, too.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best things about this district, the fact that I think all three of us have a good relationship, but I think that the similarities between North and South, Dan and I have a particularly close relationship just because of some of the things that we've worked together on, and being new ADs together was also something
that's helpful.
You can share as well.
Sure, sure. That's true. Because you came here and started as AD, right? Whereas like Dan was promoted internally from a math teacher tennis coach.
Yeah, I came from, I was a lacrosse coach, a soccer coach.
Nice.
And a hockey coach, head coach in lacrosse. And then I became an athletic director elsewhere, like I said, and then became the athletic director here.
I love it. It's good to see lacrosse grow here in Waukesha and the combined programs that you have. And of course, our friends at Carroll got a great story with their women's lacrosse team.
Yeah.
I had Clara Jelasic on the show along with the coach, Mike Hodge, and that's a really exciting the youthfulness of that athletic program with the leadership there has just been wonderful at Carroll. And it's great because I know some kids want to go away to college, but it's great that there's this wonderful local option that also offers
And we've got a couple of them, and it's nice for those kids who want to stay locally that they can stay involved in athletics but not have to go too far away.
Sounds great. Well, you've been very generous with your time, Carl. Anything you want to share with the Walk Radio world that we haven't talked about already about your wonderful athletic program?
I think the only other thing to share is that we are looking to redo the scoreboards in our field house, and we are looking for sponsors So if anybody listening would like to be a sponsor, please reach out to me directly, and I'll explain to you what those opportunities are. But we're trying to really upgrade some of our facilities, starting with our scoreboards in the field house.
That sounds great.
What's the best way to get a hold of you, Carl?
You can email me at canderson@waukesha.k12.wi.us, or you can call my office number, 262-970-3512.
All right.
That's right. I have it. And Carl, Dan's been on my show 3 times. He said, when is Carl Anderson going to be on the show? So we'll figure that out, you and me, because it'd be great to have you on and hear some more stories about all the great things going on here at Waukesha North.
Not just sports, but all the activities. Back.
Sounds great. And thanks again for hosting us. Very grateful to you, Carl.
Thanks again, Carl.
All right. And good luck in the second half.
Thank you.
Go North Stars. So Johnny, I got to ask, Carl was talking about sponsors, and we'd be remiss here in the second half if we didn't mention our football sponsor, Mia's. Have you been there lately?
I have. I stopped in for a cocktail not too long ago because it was just that time. It was a long day.
Was it one of those vintage flapper era cocktails that Bo makes from scratch?
It was. He really does a great job here.
He does, yeah.
I just love hanging out there, and I'll tell you why. Because at Mia's, you get to look over the bar and onto Clinton Avenue or Clinton Street.
Sure.
And it's just a cool thing. So you get to see the locals and the traffic. And I just kind of like that. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
And big applause here for the Waukesha North Marching Band. Another great performance. And, boy, if he wasn't so introverted, I'd have my nephew up here to say a few words, maybe favor us with a song if you bring the keys up here. But that's a baby grand. I don't think it's going to fit here.
That's a little tough to get on your back and bring up here.
It sure is. But, a lot of great talent in that North Star Marching Band and some great talent in that football team that we get to see again in the second half. And one thing about Mia's I wanted to ask is one of the rumors going around, because you're moving to downtown, is one of the reasons why, so you could be walking distance to Mia's. Is there any truth to that?
Well, yeah, there is.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to some of that action. Sure.
Sure.
You know?
Sounds great.
Get to be a little bit more of an urbanite, I guess.
Yeah. So, and I'm excited to see what he does with that, because they're going to redo the bar, I heard.
And yeah, so I'm excited for that, too.
That'll be a nice addition.
I just love the hanging out there. And Bo's such a great guy. He's very personal, you know.
He's a young owner in his late 20s. Brings a lot of energy, a lot of innovation.
And the food is fabulous.
Yeah, chef's a great guy, Alex.
The wait staff is just great. So it's a good hangout, you know.
So
it's cozy, too.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to cozy down for a little minute as we see the Oconomowoc team come back on the field. We have about 3 minutes before the second half starts. So we're going to take a break here now, pay some bills here on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network. It still is here, even though we're broadcasting Waukesha North tonight, and proud to be here with our crosstown rivals and neighbors who've been wonderful hosts. Anya, take it away. We'll see you in about a minute.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to the second half. These are your hosts, Johnny.
Yep.
Thank you, Anya, and welcome back, everyone, to Civic Media's WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw. We're covering live football, Friday Night Lights, at North Waukesha, and Oconomowoc is up 14-7, and we've got a great contest going on here. Saw some very good long plays, a lot of fighting in the trenches. This is just an exciting game, don't you think, Don?
I really do, Johnny. It's just great to see competitive football. As much as we love our black shirts, there's just a lot more parity on the field tonight, and Coach Ciano's done a great job. And, you know, the North Stars have the same challenge as South has. And it's a real credit to Coach Ciano that they've been able to recruit as well as they have, or to develop the youth program and get some good talent up there in the ranks. And I know they have a lot to look forward to, just like South does, as we move into the parkland. And I know it sounds like I'm trash talking South here, but you know, as I mentioned, Coach Wiltz has he's taken ownership, literally, of the youth football program. He owns the 501c3, and they put a lot of focus on there. And there's, at each level, from fifth grade through eighth grade, there's like 30 players on that team. And the fact, when it was announced last year or earlier this year, that South, like North, were moving out of the Classic 8 and into the Parkland, it fueled a lot of excitement and a lot of interest from kids around the district, around Waukesha, and maybe even from other towns that want to move here. And, again, compete on a level playing field, because, you know, Johnny, you mentioned, yeah, these Classic 8 teams will bring 70 or more players out to a game, and we'll have like 30-something, but... You know, I played on a high school football program that won two state championships, and for a while there, in one great coach's era, that in the two seasons he was there, they were 13-3. They finished seventh in the state. They had at least two all-state players on there, and a couple of them played Division I ball. You know, just a great program. But he never kept more than 35 guys in the team, sometimes 32 or 33.
And why do you suppose that is, Don?
Well, because I think he wanted to make sure the kids he had would get playing time, and that that having all those extra kids and all that extra equipment, that you really weren't being fair to those kids if you weren't going to play them. And he just felt really strongly about not having and I think, too, that if there was an issue with players being injured, he could bring some guys up from JV. There were some junior players that he felt were good enough, not good enough for varsity, but good enough for JV, and if they could develop on JV, that they could have a strong senior year in varsity. So
gotcha.
He's very strategic about that. Yeah. But more importantly was that you had kids, they were in a conference where there was parity in terms of the school districts and
well,
the size.
Yeah.
You know, all of those
there
things.
There you go.
All those things being equal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, but whereas, like I said, in the Classic 8, you've got maybe in each program there would be 35 or 40 kids that are Division I caliber. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of resources going into those programs. Mogwanago, Kettle Moraine, actually, their student body, and Carl Anderson told me this, their student body is very similar in size to North and South. But 75% of their students are able to participate in athletics and extracurricular activities, whereas at a school like South, which is over 50% of the student body is economically challenged, it's closer to a third of the student body is able to participate in athletics and extracurriculars. And those numbers are very similar here in Waukesha North, too. So it's just simply not a level playing field. And what happens, too, with these linemen, when you're playing Classic 8 linemen that on average are 50, 80, 100 pounds heavier than you and can run a 4.7 40 and, you know, and all the things,
yeah,
it's debilitating.
Well, yeah, it is.
And
you know.
And that's why there was always that attrition at South. You know, like this senior class at South, they won their division championship. They were the first Waukesha South team of any kind to win a division championship. And they lost within 1 or 2 years, they lost maybe 8 to 12 starters. Like, guys that I think could have gone on to great college opportunities. But you know, the COVID year in ninth grade hurt the team a lot. And, again, facing Classic 8 competition, we were just clearly outclassed and outsized. For the linemen, that's just a difficult thing to show up to work every day. It's different if you're in a skilled position and maybe, you know, 10 or 12 plays, you can get open twice and get a good, you know, positive gain. But for those linemen, that's a really rough setting.
It's gonna be a different experience for trouble.
It's gonna be a different experience for us next year.
That's why things are in the Parkland. So, but I'll tell you what, you know, the feel you get here is that it's a much better feel for parity. Okay.
Yeah.
So these two teams are matched up much better.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. And you went through a lot of detail there.
Yeah.
You know, we're one or two big plays away from North being ahead.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like you were mentioning the other day. You know, the Hagler Hearns kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not quite there.
Oh, that was the Carroll North Park.
Yeah, that was last weekend.
Yeah.
But so, you know, they're trading pretty even blows here.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a great second half here.
I think sure will.
Coaching staff will be making some adjustments.
Yep.
And we'll see what these kids can do.
Back to return for Oconomowoc is Alex Serafine, number 25, a sophomore running back. And then number 13, Julian Romano, will be kicking off. Trying to get the number on that. I believe is that number one for Ocon? Alex Bryan, maybe, could be returning this. Let's see what Romano does here. It's a squib kick. It may roll out of bounds. No, it's fielded by an upback. Oh, he fumbles it. Picks it up. And then tackled at about the 23. So well covered.
Yes, it was.
And a shout out to that's number 18, I believe, for T. Chang is the name I have. Or it might be Xavier Sanchez. 18 or 19, but a good job bringing him down. Actually got as far as the 25 they're giving him. So,
you know what I liked right there is that he went for the ball, too. I mean, he was trying to steal it away from the runner.
Ball in the right hash. Twin packages both sides. Pistol formation for Merrick, and he's got Ralstad back there. Ralstad had a busy first half. And he's looking to his right. Quick pass. Almost had an interception, but it is caught. And it's close to another Raccoon first down there. Brady Engel scored the touchdown to end the half.
Half a step, but could have been a pick six.
Yep. So that was your man. That was the Irishman, Mr. Donovan. And then from the outside linebacker spot, Colin O'Donovan. Yeah. Colin Donovan.
The Irishman.
I added an O to his name. I added the ancestral name there.
Yay.
So second and two. Looks like he was out of bounds there. 11:24 and counting in the third quarter. Ocon leading 14-7. Tight twin packages, right ball in the right hash. Twins left spread out. Pistol formation for Merrick. Probably going to be a running play to Ralstad here, I would imagine. Yep, Ralstad up the middle. No, it's a keeper. Merrick keeps it. And it looks like he's got enough for a first down there. Again, that was Cullen Donovan there to force him out of bounds.
Good deception work.
But, excellent sleight of hand there. So Ocon gets another first down here. And clock will be stopped since it was out of bounds. 11:01, third quarter. And out in the left split end is Emmett Bork. First time we called his number tonight. And then a tight twin formation. Actually, twins left there. We do have a flanker. Tight twins right ball in the right hash. Pistol formation for Merrick. First and 10, 11:01. And it's another fake. Merrick's going to keep it again up the middle. He's got some positive yardage there. About a 9-yard gain.
Pretty close to a first.
Love that QB keeper. That's working well for them. 10:49 and counting. And I'm thinking, Johnny, that Ocon wants to take their time here on this drive. They really want to wear down this North Star defense and also keep that North Star offense, A.J. Curtis and company, cold on the field. Twin packages both sides. Ball in the middle of the field here now on a second and one situation. 10:28 and counting. Ocon up 14-7. North Stars need a big stop some point in this drive. And it's going to be a quick passer in the flat to Schweffel again. Big cushion there. Boy, they really they don't want to give up the deep one there on a short yardage play. I think that's what they were selling. But
they're really playing them off.
A lot of time there for Merrick and Zweifel to connect. Carlos Rodriguez on the tackle for the North Stars, number 44. So it's first and 10, ball at the 45 of the North Stars now as Ocon has entered North Star territory. 9:58 and counting in the third quarter, a 14-7 Raccoon lead. Single receiver right, double tight end right, twins left, pistol formation for Merrick. And it's right up the middle to Ralstad this time. And he's going to push forward for about 4 or 5 yards there. Great blocking up front.
Yes.
By the Ocon line.
It really is.
They're going to give him 4 yards on that one. Second and 6. Ball at the 41 of the North Stars. 9:25 and counting. Again, a 14-7 Ocon lead here as the Raccoons come to the line.
Got to keep your eyes peeled.
Twins left, single receiver right, ball in the middle of the field. Pistol formation from Eric. 9:07 and counting. Third quarter. And it's a run left this time to Ralph.
Oh, he's got
some pushing forward. Wow. Like a knife through butter.
Boy, he had a lot of room there.
He
good
sure
blocking.
Did. Yeah, pretty much went untouched and then broke some tackles. And yeah, that's about almost a 20-yard gain there. The ball spotted at the 22. No, the 20-yard line exactly, the North Stars. And North Stars have impressed us with their red zone defense here. Let's see if they can do it again. Big shout out to Michael Cloth, D tackle in there. Single receiver right, Twins left, pistol formation. It's kind of an option, but no, now it's a keeper with Ralstead leading the way for Merrick to run it himself and get about 5 yards there. Really well designed play.
Yep, they had a good lead blocker and he got five.
It was almost like watching one of those snowplows clearing the way.
Yep.
So clock stops with the tackle out of bounds. Or Merrick running out of bounds, I should say. Second and five, 8:52, third quarter. Oconomowoc looking to add to a 14-7 lead. Do the North Stars have an answer for him? Twins right, Twins left. Empty backfield for Merrick, double tight end right. Flanker goes in motion to the right. It's a flip to Ralstad. And he, oh, breaks one tackle, but not
He's
this
not
time.
Going in. Oh, wait a minute, he got away! Holy cow! They had him deep behind the line.
He was able to get back to almost the line of scrimmage, but it's going to be a loss. It should have been a loss of like 10 or 15.
I don't know how he got away, Don.
I don't either.
Man, it looks like they had him dead to rights there.
He looked like Mikey Coleman, the freshman sensation for Carroll on that. The fly, remember we called it?
Jeez Louise.
I don't understand that, yeah. So I think maybe some high tackling or something, but...
No, they had two guys.
North Stars did a great job of sniffing that out, and as it is, it's a third and eight, so it was a loss of three on that. So it's still, you know, defense did its job. Twin packages both sides, ball in the right hash here, pistol formation, the snap. Oh, it's a draw play to Ralstad. He's corralled. He breaks one tackle and finally knocked down by Aiden Zerbel.
Got some of that
Michael
back.
Cloth had a good piece of him, slowed him down enough. So now you got not much, maybe a yard. It's fourth. Nope, they say no gain. It's fourth and eight. Fourth and seven. He did get a yard. And Ocon right back in the line. 8:14 remaining here in the third quarter. Trips left, single receiver right, pistol formation. Merrick looks like he might be calling an audible here. Nope, time is called. And let's see.
Something didn't smell
North's
right.
Going to call the timeout. So Coach Ciano saw something there that he didn't like about his defense. And going to take a quick break. And we'll keep it here. It was a real treat having Carl Anderson on here at halftime.
He was.
Vice principal and athletic director here.
What a knowledgeable and articulate guy.
Yeah.
He's busy, too. He's running all around here.
He sure is.
You know, he's got a lot on his plate.
Yep. And a big turnout here on Parents' Night. Santa Claus night or Christmas night in the student section. We saw a Santa who looked a little too old. He looked more like a Santa than a student. I think he was a...
I think that was the real
septuagenarian,
dude.
Yeah. And he even had some elves in our age group there. Some nice young ladies handing out toys and gifts or candies.
So what do you think we're going to see here, Don?
Let's see. As we come back from the timeout, right now Ocon's showing... Trips left. Ralstad now lined up in a real tight flank, almost like a tight end off the line here.
Like
single receiver right. And Merrick's rolling out to his left. The righty quarterback, he sees someone and throws it away. No one opens. Yeah. So
nothing
a very there. Big stand by the North Star defense.
Taking over on downs.
I saw Zweffel there in the right, you know, all on his own there. And I thought they were going to try another corner pattern to him with his height.
Yeah.
So, but I think they want to give – I think that Coach Logue wants to give the kicking team a shot at this. Caden Oppold will – well, let's see. Oh, no, they went for it on fourth. I stand corrected.
Yeah, so they're taking over on downs here.
Yep, and here comes Ethan Holmes lining up behind A.J. Curtis. So my apologies. I almost gave the Raccoons an extra down here.
You did.
Twins right ball in the left hash here at about the 17-yard line, first and 10. Another big stand for the North Star defense here, looking to tie things up. Fakes up the middle. Curtis rolls outside. He might run it. Nowhere to go, and he big loss. So the running game not working so well for Curtis and company like it did for Merrick and the Raccoons on their previous drive here.
Yeah, he's got to get more north-south than east-west there.
Yeah, I thought they should have passed off that. It took a while with that play action there, with that fake up the middle. So that very costly. 4-yard loss there, 7:28 and counting. Brings up second and 14, the ball at the North Star 13. Twins left. Single receiver, right ball in the right hash. Pistol formation for Curtis. Curtis gets the snap. Back to pass. Looking to his right. He's going long. And the play is broken up there.
Overthrown.
I think that was intended for Elijah Mead there. It's well covered on that. Sebastian Briggs, the junior cornerback for the Raccoons on the coverage there. Good-looking pass, a little high, and again, me just well covered there. But I like the decision making and how quick they got the pass off. You just the way Ocon, the pressure from the Ocon light line tonight, and their knowledge at sniffing out the design run plays. Trips left, single receiver right, pistol formation, 3rd and 14, 7:12. Clock stops with the incomplete pass. Curtis gets a snap. He's rolling out to his left this time.
A lot of trouble.
Trying to go long. He's got a guy. Oh, is it caught?
I don't think so.
No, incomplete. I think he caught it out of bounds.
Yeah.
It was intended for Elijah Mead. So the North Stars will have to punt here with 7:05 in the third quarter, trailing 14-7. And Caden Oppold of the Raccoons at the North Star 45. So you got to believe Raccoons are excited about having good field position, and a 3-and-out for the North Stars means the defense will be a little weary going out there, a little tired after a tough stand that started from the 25 and went all the way to about the 15. So here's the punt by Wolf. Decent punt. Oppold will field it. He's running to his right. He's got some decent space. Gets one good block. He's all the way to the 30 now before being pushed out at about the 28. So
yeah, that was a good run back.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have kicked it right to him there.
Yeah.
But again, I with where they were sitting, I don't know if they wanted to, there was much they could really do here. But as it is, it's great field position for the Raccoons. Ball spotted at the North Star 25. 6:54 is your time remaining in the third quarter. North Stars trailing Ocon 14-7. North Star scored first at the end of the first quarter. And then Ocon came back at the beginning of the fourth quarter to tie it. Second quarter. And then before the half, took the lead. Twins left, Twins right. Pistol formation for Merrick, first and 10. And Merrick on another keeper on the fake handoff. He's got some good space. And he gets all the way to about the six. He's close to a first down. Referee standing at about the 16. Sets up second and 1. So they sold it. They faked it for Alstad up the middle, the tailback. And then Curtis went around to the right. Another naked bootleg off of a handoff.
Yep. Someone's got to contain that edge.
And they're giving him a first down. He got the yardage needed here. So ball at the 15 of North. 6:49, your time remaining. Clock stops with the out of bounds.
Got to watch this in the corner.
Twin packages both sides. Ball on the right hash, pistol formation. Merrick gets a snap. This time goes to Ralsei. Great blocking. Ralsei cuts out.
Wow.
He's going to find the end zone. Yes. And Raccoons add another 7 to their lead. It's now 20-7 with the extra point pending. And, boy, that
was a demoralizing drive.
That left
there.
Side of the Raccoon line just pushed the North Stars back and gave Ralsei a lot of room to cut it outside. If he goes up the middle, he's still looking at a good 7-10-yard game, but he cut it out, found some more space, and found the end zone. Great blocking upfield by the receivers, too. So an overall team effort. Yep. Ralstead, of course, it's credit for the touchdown, but you got to shout out that whole Ocon for doing everything right. Extra point by my man Jackson Taylor is true. And now with 6:41 in the third quarter, it's the Raccoons 21 and the North Stars 7. We'll be right back on the Walk Radio High School Sports Network after these messages. Anya, take it away.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Live Football Coverage. These are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Thank you, Anya, and welcome back to live coverage of Waukesha North versus Oconomowoc Raccoons. What a great contest we've got going on here. Just had a score. It's 21-7. Don, take it away for the kickoff.
Yep, that's my man Jackson Taylor, and back to receive is Elijah Mead, Jason Webster. It's a shorter kick. Yep, back. Oh, he drops it. Hangs on. Now he's running to the outside. And that's our man Donovan. He gets knocked out of bounds, short of the 25, where the North Stars will take over. And that was Cullen Donovan, the Irishman. Peyton House is there.
Yeah, you always hate to see that little muff
spot there. At the 23. Yeah, at least he picked it up clean.
Yeah, it ended up being a good thing, but that always has an opportunity for big trouble.
Yeah, and that's why they kick it short sometimes. So we got Mead and Webster in a tight twin packages far from the line here. We also got twin packages right with Connor Curtis, the tight end, in the flank. Two tight ends on the right there with the split end being number 17, Caden Smith. Pistol formation for Curtis with Ethan Holmes behind him here. First and 10. North Stars looking to get back in the game here. And right away it's pass. He's trying to go deep. No one's covered. He's going to the other side, though. He's got
a guy.
His little brother, Connor Curtis. And Caden Apple finally brought it down at the 32. You know,
he had to wait for it, but
when you're all out of options, you find your little brother. And the larger Curtis, larger but younger, caught it and dragged Caden Apple probably a good 10 yards before finally being brought down.
He had some space there, dude.
He sure did.
What a great play.
That was a 40-yard play there, just about 40-yard plus. Ball at the Raccoon 34-yard line, 6:22 and counting. A 21-7 score in favor of the Raccoons. But here come the North Stars. Twins left, no receivers right. Or no, single receiver right. Quick pass.
Nice block. Mead, he's got some room.
Tackle, breaks another. Oh, flags everywhere. Mead was brought down to the 16, but there were at least two flags that went out, and I see some clapping Raccoons. North Star Nation not happy with the call. Might have been a legal man downfield or a hold.
Looked like a clean block to me, although that guy got tatered. He went right on his back.
Maybe that's why they called. Might have been a legal man downfield. Let's see what they call. But it's from the spot of the foul, which is 4 or 5 yards upfield, so could be worse. Spot of the foul is the Raccoon 30-yard line. Ref's marking it off now, which means that it'll go all the way to the 45. Wait, this is a 15-yard variety. There must have been a face mask or something, Johnny. Nope. I guess
blind side block or something here.
Chop block or crack.
Yeah.
So clock winds again, 6:02. And now it's first and 24. Yeah, it's definitely a personal foul variety. Twins right. Mead and Webster on the right. Connor Curtis all alone on the left here. Pistol formation for A.J. Curtis. A.J. gets a snap. He's looking to his right. He's going deep. He's going deep to Webster. Incomplete. Well covered. Good little battle there going on between 58, Anthony Rodriguez, North Stars, and 72, Patrick Roker, the sophomore of the Raccoons. Roker goes out. But
yeah. That coverage was pretty tight.
It sure was, yeah. So now it's second and 24. You thought they would have looked shorter to try to take some of those yards off. So number 20 comes into the game for the North Stars. Riley West, a sophomore. Haven't called his name yet. It's his first time out here.
Not quite a mile to go, but let's say 7/8.
There you go. Second and 24, 5:37. Clock stop in the incomplete pass. Ball at the 47 of the Raccoons here. Pistol formation, twins right, single receiver left for A.J. Curtis. The snap. Curtis, a deep drop. He's going down the middle. He's got a guy. It's got Webster down at the 9-yard line. First and goal.
Beautiful pass.
Touchdown saving tackle by number 43, Anders Mariano.
Another long ball. Here.
So they basically got Webster in a mismatch with the middle linebacker, or outside linebacker. That's the kind of mismatch you want, Johnny. So good call there by Coach Ciano. And his OC.
It was good read, good pass, and a lot there of wheels on that.
So 5:17 and counting, a 21-7 lead. Twins right, single receiver. And now a timeout here by Oconomowoc. And we'll keep it here with 5:14 left in the third quarter. North Stars trying to cut a 14-point lead to 7 here. And they're in a great spot. A beautifully designed play. Hitting the senior, Jason Webster, over the middle.
Yeah. You got to like them long balls, man. They're exciting. They're getting open.
And they
nice completions.
They had a linebacker trying to cover him over the middle, so good idea. Great recognition.
Yep.
And so
good field awareness.
Speaking of recognition, in honor of National Hispanic Heritage Month, I'm honored to have Gina Sanchez Juarez of La Casa de Esperanzas Center for Financial Stability as my guest on This Week in Waukesha tomorrow at 8. Check it out here on Walk Radio, 540 AM, 101.1 FM, the Shaw. Or better yet, download the Civic Media app for an ideal listening experience. That way, when you're enjoying your coffee out in the patio, if it's warm enough, or when you're walking the dog, you can check out the whole show. So we're back to live action here, live and local. Twins right, single receiver left, pistol formation for A.J. Curtis here, first and 10. Curtis sees a spot over the middle. He's got some room. Curtis gets all the way to the 4-yard line.
Nice play.
Before 44 and 11, Aiden Kinney and Marcus Dudek, respectively, converge on him. So it was a design keeper. And I like that when you have this short field here. It's hard to get those passes off. 4:49 and counting in the third quarter. Ball near the left hash. Twin packages both sides. Empty backfield for A.J. Curtis this time. I see a rollout right here. Pressure on Curtis. He's got it.
Almost intercepted.
It was intended for number 17, Caden Smith. Smith wasn't looking. So I think there was some heavy pressure, and Curtis had to get rid of it quicker than he wanted. So that will make it third and goal, from the 4-yard line.
Little dicey.
Clock stops with 4:31 in the third quarter.
See a flag laying down in the corner
of the field.
North Stars
trailing 21-7. Let's see what the flag's for. That could have been interference. Let's see. No, they're calling it offensive interference.
Aye, aye, aye.
Wow. That's going to push them back. I don't know how that brings them back all the way to the 19. That I don't get that. I'm not sure what the call is here, Johnny. It had to have been another personal foul if it's that back. Face mask or something, but Twins right, single receiver left, pistol formation. I think it's probably a good thing we got this bigger field to work with here for Curtis. Curtis gets the snap. He's looking to his left. It's a floater to Webster. Oh! Some contact, no flag called.
Well, the coverage was good.
The pass to Webster, it was good. I thought there might have been contact
there.
Yeah,
it was pretty darn close, Don.
Yep. Andrew Cronenberg, I believe, was on that.
Both fighting for the ball right at the end.
Yep, that's Cronenberg, who's basically been assigned. So now you got 3rd and 18 here after that second down was repeated. Pistol formation, single receiver left, twins right, ball in the left hash for Curtis. Curtis now He's going to get out of trouble. He throws it. He's got a guy. It's caught. Touchdown!
There you go. 6 points.
Connor Curtis. A brother-to-brother combo.
Back in the game.
And now it's 21-13 with the extra point pending. A big play, and that was a diving catch by little brother Connor, the bigger little brother.
Gotta like that.
Wow, what a play. You know, Curtis was in trouble. I thought he was going to run.